The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
The Lotus Plays Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome in. It is, what is it, Thanksgiving Eve? Misgiving Eve? Indigenous Slaughter People Day Eve? It's November 23rd. It's the day before everybody's celebrating Thanksgiving, and I hope that you enjoy seeing your family, friends, whatever you're doing on tomorrow. Do it with love, kindness. You know, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays whereas family violence tends to increase. There, traditionally, speaking of a quote-unquote traditional holiday, that's the day whereas more family members shoot other family members. So I hope that nobody shoots anybody tomorrow over the Thanksgiving dinner, especially with all of this election stuff that has been going on, and you know, people will be arguing about who they voted for and all of this other stuff. So anyway, just sit down, eat your turkey, enjoy your family, watch the football game. I have no idea who's playing. It's probably Dallas or somebody, but enjoy your family. Enjoy your time off, and we want you to call in and share with us what's on your mind tonight, and will you go stand in line and do your Black Friday shopping after you finish eating your Thanksgiving dinner. So let me give out the call-in number, and we just want you to call in and share your thoughts and comments with us here tonight, the Lotus Place Radio Show, and the new number is, for this call to join in, is 866-510-9025. And you can share your thoughts and your comments with us tonight. And we would love to hear from you. And I think, let's see here.
Hey, Black Rose.
Feather the light will sit up. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Black Rose.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey. Star. Also, if they want to unmute themselves, because otherwise some people just want to hang on and listen, and it's not like the other mm-hmm. place where we had to hit star 6 and 1. So just watch your background noise when you hit star, and when she sees you or I see you, she'll call mm-hmm. on you, but watch your background noise, please. But that's star to unmute yourself.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll remember that. So star to unmute yourself. And how are you, Scotty?
Busy as ever. And that's a good thing. And I mean that in a good way. So
I know. I know you are always busy, and I am loving the BTR page. Do you have a moment just to speak briefly about the BTR page and how people can get involved?
Yeah, so blacktalkradiocommunity.com is how you can get to the Black Talk Radio social platform that was set up after a couple of the hosts said we need to get off of Facebook. Now, as a business, and I understand people doing it as business, we're not talking about those people. We're not talking about people who are trying to get information out to the masses. So those are legitimate reasons to be on Facebook. And when you're, and so we, where, when you take something away from somebody, well, where are they gonna go? People are addicted to social media to us. So yeah, you gotta give them options. So that option for black people, for victims of the system, is btrcommunity.com. And so in order to pay for it, we do ask that people take out a subscription. That's $24 a year, or you can get one that's $5 a month or $1 a week, but take out a subscription. This way we don't have to rely on outside advertisers and revenues and things of that nature that leads to these platforms invading your privacy, exploiting your data so that they can make a profit off of it. So it'll pay for itself if all the members chip in $24 a year. So I'm liking it thus far, and I joined some of the groups, the new groups you set up, and I have to say, you are certainly an attractive woman. Saw your photos.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. You know, and I'm attractive, single woman, no children as of yet. I love children. I will take your children in and cook for them, too. How they used to say back in the day, I cook and clean, too. I cook and clean, too. But yes, well, thank you so much. You know, I'm just being flirtatious. I love to flirt. Bon bust a grape, like they say, but I love to flirt. But and Scott is a very handsome gentleman as well, ladies. I don't know if Scott is married or not, but Scott, are you married? Putting all your business out there.
No, I'm divorced.
That's right. You did say that you were divorced. So I don't know if he's looking, ladies, but he may be looking. I don't know. Are you looking? Are you accepting applications?
Not presently.
Okay, he's not accepting applications, ladies. So don't send your application in, your resume. Not just yet. Thank you, Scotty. But I'm loving BTR also. I wanted to pull up some of the groups quickly because we started a group. Of course, you know, you can always join the abolitionist group, which Abolitionist Radio Show just concluded. I love listening to the Abolitionist Radio as well as Tando and the Black Business show that comes on. So there's so many great shows you can tune into on Black Talk Radio Network. Sometimes when I'm just in the kitchen cooking or something, I just log on and I just listen, or I go on YouTube when one of them pops up. You should subscribe to Black Talk Radio Network on YouTube so that when a new show comes up, you can just, let me just listen while I'm driving down the street. Oh, let me just listen while I'm walking, getting my exercise, while I'm vacuuming the floor, cleaning up, whatever. But tune in. And there's an abolitionist group. There's even the Slave Catchers Chronicles. Love that. Political Prisoners and Prisoners of War. And we also just started a Healthy Electric Living page on BTR, which is a tribute to Dr. Sebi particularly, but also honoring the works of like Dr. Layla Africa, Dr. Jewel Poop, who are some others that I love to listen to? So many people share so many help for us out there. So I mean, that you would like to share some of their recipes, their philosophies on eating and cooking. Please do that, like food combinations. It is so important, food combinations. A lot of times we just combine the wrong foods, and then that food sits in our stomach and it spoils. And so we're not like as active as we once used to be as we used to be, like moving around. Now we have a lot of computer jobs. We sit down, we sit in front of the TV, we sit at the desk, things like this. So sometimes people are not as active. And so that food is not moving around and being released as it should. And so now you see people having pancreatic cancer, prostate cancers, all these stomach cancers, colon cancers, and all of that. And it's just really all about the food that we're daily, and it's not being released. You should have a regular bowel movement. You should have a bowel movement after you eat. So if you're not doing that, if you're kind of constipated, then consider changing your diet. We have too many young people that are dying from heart disease and different cancers and issues that we never used to hear about. I mean, I didn't even hear about a woman having breast cancer until, like, I don't know, what was that, like in the 80s or something, Featherlight? And it was, like, odd. That was very odd to hear, mm-hmm. especially a black woman having breast cancer.
Right.
So,
right.
And now you have so many men that have prostate cancer. But I don't know, you know, and maybe that's something that we could research. I don't know, maybe you may have to have that area massaged more by your wife or your partner, and maybe that will help. And also, of course, any type of food with, what is it, lecithin, red color, like from watermelons and tomatoes, eat more tomatoes and watermelons, and that's supposed
fruits to with color.
Prevent prostate cancer. Yeah, fruits with color. So I guess maybe like plums too, or maybe some red grapes. So, but that's something that we should research and put on our page. Because listening to Dr. Sabi talks about like broccoli and cauliflower not being foods that provide all of these nutrients that we once thought that they could provide. So mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. I need to look more into that. But I don't eat cauliflower anyway. I never liked it.
It doesn't have any color. Something about it.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah, not into it. Yeah. It's not colorful. I like a colorful plate.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a painting,
for the
drawing.
Yes, yes. Namaste mm-hmm. to you. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste, everyone.
So this is the What's namaste. On Your Mind. I don't know if this is Delta. I know it's a 228 number, but I don't know. And I think that, is this Delta at this 228? If not, I'm going to mute your mic. And there we go. Mute. So anywho, tonight we are talking about anything you want to talk about, really. It's What's On Your Mind line, and you can call in and share your thoughts. I do have a couple of topics that I would definitely like to bring up, but you can talk about anything. Consciousness, talk black thought, overcoming power roles and conflicts in the conscious community. That's a topic I thought about, because I'll delve into that a little bit later, but I had an experience recently that was very reminiscent of so many experiences that I've had when you're working with so-called black conscious people or groups. It's just amazing how they take on this oppressive tone and attitude. And sometimes I say to myself, you know what, you just like dealing with some old crazy slave master. Sometimes it can be worse. But anyway, Thanksgiving. People may want to call in and say why they celebrate Thanksgiving, what they're doing tomorrow, what they cook. I don't know. Whatever you want to call in and speak about in relation to the holiday. Maybe you don't want to celebrate the holiday and you want to talk about that. I know I used to see, and I haven't been on Facebook in a few days or whatever, but I know I used to see so many people blasting Thanksgiving, you know, people that all of a sudden like woke up and like, oh yeah, we shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving, and so they want to, you know, blast other people that celebrate it. But we have to remember, people, everybody comes into their light and knowledge at their time. And there was once a time we were sitting down, gobbling down turkey and sweet potato pies at grandma's table too, and saying mm-hmm. happy Thanksgiving and watching mm-hmm. the football game and all of that. So you have to let people just come into their own light at their specific time. And you could, you know, we always say drop that knowledge, let them know, as we will do tonight. We will share a clip from one of my favorites, Barashango, Brother Barashango. He puts it down and just goes through this whole like 2-hour lecture on European holidays and the origin and the history and why we should not celebrate these certain holidays. But we'll only play a clip from that 2-hour lecture, because you can always find it online. If you want to talk about the Dakota Access Pipeline, why should you be concerned? Are you concerned? Do you care? Do you know about it? Of course, health and healing, relationships, corrective Black Friday shopping. If you are going to shop for your Christmas presents, will you shop with a Black business? Because some people just have to shop on Black Friday. I get it. That's, you've been programmed. We've been programmed. And it's difficult to break that. It's it very really difficult. Is. Like, it was difficult for me to become a vegetarian. It was difficult for me to stop certain behaviors. But I had to just make a conscious effort to do what was best for me. So I do what's best for me. I don't try to force people to do certain things, even though we all have our own lives to live. I'll just leave it at that. So, corrective Black Friday shopping. I know you're going to Walmart and standing in that line after you finish gobbling down your Thanksgiving dinner, getting all sleepy.
Even when I wasn't conscious, I didn't do that.
Going to stand in line.
Those crowded lines.
Fighting for the TV that you've been waiting to get all year long.
That they only have about 4 of.
They may have a few more, but I mean, you know.
10.
Yeah.
10 at
hey,
the
but
most.
You know, one thing people could do is invest in some stock, maybe, if you're into the stock market, like invest into satellite radio. And what else? I was talking about investing in the marijuana business, since it's like over 25 states now. So I mean, that may be a good investment. I've been reading a little bit about that. Some people are investing in that, and I don't know, you know, people may have different thoughts about that. But I mean, just how about like investing in your child's future, like buying them some stock in something, or maybe
leaving them a truck.
Maybe buy something like that. And also, what was it? Oh yeah, you know, I always love to push like a language course. Like buy them a language course. That would be great. That's something
that would be great.
Much carry on much for education.
Than those games.
Yeah, and I mean, I know the children like to play games, because I mean, we played Atari too. I mean, so I can't really like come down on the children about playing the games and everything, because I know we wanted our Atari, and I think we stopped playing the games after Atari, like, because we didn't have like the Xbox and all of that stuff. I was an adult by the time it came out, but I would just say, in conjunction with the games and all of that, something educational. Give them an
like
educational
the aunt,
experience.
The aunt or uncle or somebody, extended family, could give them some educational things. So if the parents mm-hmm. are going to give them the expensive games, you know, video mm-hmm. games, the extended mm-hmm. family could buy them the educational things.
That's true. Yeah. Send them on a trip somewhere to Africa with a group. That would be something
great.
Something cultural.
To their history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something cultural. Yeah, something cultural. You know, I love me some culture. Any of your upcoming New Year's thoughts? If you've already like made out your list of, say, resolutions or things that you want to change about yourself, improve, some goals, whatever you want to call it. Or if you want to talk about like what you have accomplished from your list that you wrote this year for 2016, how's it looking? And also, I did want to bring up this Sam DeBose case because I did hear something about the Sam DeBose case that I want to mention today. And Sam DeBose was the man that was shot by a police officer in Cincinnati. And then Tamir Rice, you know, Tamir Rice's anniversary, the little young boy from Cleveland, Ohio. I think it's today is like his death anniversary. And I know that that's very hard for parents who lose love their babies or family members, people that lose loved ones, period, around the holidays, because people go through those like holiday blues and what do they call them, winter blues. So people already tend to become a little depressed. So if you lose a loved one around a significant time, like a birthday or a holiday or something like that, then for some people it could weigh heavily on their hearts. And so we want to help you work through those feelings also here at the Lotus Place, because we need to really I would love for us to focus on raising our vibration and just getting on a different frequency, whereas we can I think that's you, Featherlight, fiddling around with something. I can hear all of it. Or maybe it's this cord. How do I sound on these new headphones? I have some new headphones. Do I sound like a radio personality? Live, coming to you live. Yes, I do.
You sound wonderful. Very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Very clear. Strong.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. And also homeschooling. Homeschooling for protection. You know, with this constant increase in attacks on our children, we keep seeing all of this from the little girl being dragged from out of her desk and children mm-hmm. being body slammed and mm-hmm. just attacked in schools, preparing these children for a larger, harsher slave plantation. Mm-hmm. I always say that I just, oh goodness, I pray for the poor little children in these schools. And not only do I pray for you babies, I keep trying to talk to your parents about figuring out a way to homeschool you also. Because if Marva Collins can do it, we could do it. Mm-hmm. Even in Memphis, some sisters started a Marcus Garvey school there. People have freedom schools all around the country. Maybe not as many as we need, but that's okay. We can work on that, because so many of these little children are coming home, especially after this election. They're being attacked. All these hate incidents are being reported. There's an escalation. So I wouldn't want my children to have to face that daily going to school. I would want them to be in an environment that's totally conducive to their learning and not having to worry about their safety. And something really needs to be done about that, really, seriously. And not just police officers being in school, because that doesn't help. So any of those topics that people would like to touch on or anything else that you could think of, those are just some thoughts that we have. And then guess what, Featherlight? We have some questions on the table. Whose life are you living? Whose life are you living? Are you living your life? Are you getting your life, or are you living somebody else's life? Mm-hmm. Are you acting in somebody else's play? Or are you living your own play? Did you write the script that you live in? Are you an extra in somebody else's play? And you wonder why things are happening the way that they keep happening. You keep walking, like you said the other week, going down that same street, falling in that same hole. because you may just be living your life as an act, as an extra or some little side actress in somebody else's play.
Exactly.
A thespian in someone else's script. So
yes.
Live your life. So we want to know, are you living your life? Are you living your dream or somebody else's dream? You making somebody else's dream come true, or are you living your dream?
Right. Something to think
about. Yeah. So, and we want to talk about that. Certainly, because I've been watching that Westworld on HBO, and I'm telling you, when you know about like parallel universes and different dimensions, and maybe I'll even tell that dimension story, what happened in New York. Like parallel universes and different dimensions and dreams and astral travel and all of that. When you are familiar with those topics, this little series, Westworld, oh my God, it really gets into that whole parallel universe, past regression lives, and also just being in the matrix and being programmed. Just being a pawn.
Told what to do, told what, how to feel, how
to
react.
Think, how to react.
Yes.
And when you think about it, that is very, very similar to our lives right here, whether you're in whatever
right
dimension,
now.
Whatever parallel universe. Yes, we're told what to think. You're told what to wear on some jobs. You got to wear that blue shirt with your name tag and all of this stuff. You got to swipe this to go through this door, press this ring and put your eyeball here, all this other stuff that we have to go through to live. Drive this way, only go this speed limit, you can't go over this speed limit, I might pull you up. All this stupid stuff, all these stupid rules, who needs it? Ugh. Will you shop on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and will you shop with a black business? That's one of the questions on the table. And also another question, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back featherlight with your mind, body, and spirit. I think you have a plan to share with us. But have you been in an abusive relationship? And that can be a relationship with a parent, friend, coworker, or mate. Because we are going to have a series on relationship abuse. So we want to start talking about that, because a lot of people are going through or have gone through abusive relationships, and they never received the debrief or the therapy needed so that they could work through those issues, and they just carry that on into other aspects of their lives. And so it's just like this continuous cycle, and deep down they may know, hey, you know, I really need some help, I'm kind of screwed up in the head. But they don't know what to do. They're unaware of how to handle those situations. And sometimes it's just going back to look at your life, examine and have a critical analysis of your past life or your life to see what led up to you having this kind of behavior as an adult. Meet your children.
And release those emotions.
And release those emotions.
You have to release, unreleased emotions never die. They just surface at the most inopportune times. They just surface at the most inopportune times. When people blow their top, you know, just freak out. You're like, what was that all about? It has nothing to do with what just happened. Unreleased emotions
it's all about
like
them.
Say,
let's take a break and we'll be right back. Yep. Okay, we'll be right back. You're tuned in to The Lotus Place.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
And we are back here at the Lotus Place Radio Show, live here on Black Talk Radio Network. And you can join us and join in on this call and share your thoughts with us. We'd be more than happy to hear from you. Or you can just listen to our lovely voices as we chat about what's on our minds, and you can share what's on your mind. And right now, Feather Light is going to share what's on her mind. So what say you?
All right. First, I want to give a money mantra. Okay.
Yeah, so money.
Yes. Yes. Mantras are words, syllables, groups of words that are believed to have spiritual or psychological effects when repeated and thought over and over again, because we know we're all about energy. Everything is energy, and words are energy. So, this is a group of money mantras that we can say if you want to bring money to you. Because if you think something over and over and over again, you will manifest that. If you feel that the doctor, if a person, we won't say you, a person is told, because they had this cough that they couldn't get rid of for about 6 weeks or whatever, and so the doctor comes back after many tests and says, "I'm sorry, mister, but we have found you to have cancer. And it's pretty bad, and you have maybe 6 months to a year, maybe a year, but I wouldn't push it." This man goes home and starts thinking in his mind, "I only have 6 months. I only have 6 months." And his body will gradually deteriorate, whether he had cancer or not. So mantras are something that you can say to yourself with enough power and actually manifest it. So these are money mantras that I would like for you to repeat, Black Rose. I am very, very rich.
I am very, very rich.
People love giving me money.
People giving me money.
It feels money so good always to say that. Finds its way to me. You hear me?
Money always finds its way to me. It's way too
many.
I feel like a million bucks.
There's plenty more where that came from.
And there's plenty more where that came from.
I naturally attract good fortune.
I naturally attract good fortune.
Very good. So, repeat those daily.
Okay.
And see what happens.
Ooh.
All right. So, I have a spoken word that I would like to share. And I'm going to do this in two parts. So, I will do the first part, and then I will do the second part after your next break. How about that? I will split it up. All right. This is called "They're Messing With My Melanin."
They're messing with my melanin.
They're messing with my melanin. Black men dying, politicians lying, black women found hanging, black girls police slanging, black women immolated, black women triple hated, grieving for this one, marching for that one. Which one? This one. That one? Oh, I thought you meant this one. How's life? What life? Your life. My life? Oh, I haven't checked in on my life lately. I haven't gone within. They got me so caught up in their life, I feel like I'm bound in a whirlwind. Man, they messing with my melanin. They keep my mind busy and my body in fight or flight mode for real. So I'm unrest, stressed, and unable to naturally heal. They messing with my melanin. What's that on your plate? I don't know. They say it's food, but why isn't it seeded? They say it's meat, but what exactly did they feed it? Man, I don't know. They messing with my melanin. Take this pill. Take that pill. Take these pills for the side effects of that pill. Expect some discomfort or possibly death from taking any pill, and don't say we didn't warn you, because we did. We're sicker now than we've ever been. You know, a lot of healing starts from within. You're messing with your melanin. That's part one.
Oh, wow. Messing with your melanin.
Part two.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing.
A lot of stuff going on, messing with the melanin. You're welcome.
It's messing with your melanin. It's a lot of propaganda. I would say, let's see, stir crazy like propaganda. Trickster type of propaganda. Just misinformation and disinformation.
Right.
Putting
information out. Right, exactly. We don't have to train for it anymore. It's just script reading.
Yeah, just script reading. Just as King B would say, highly paid stenographers. I heard somebody say news. They're not reporters. They don't investigate any stories or issues, concerns in the community. It's just what they're given here. Read someone's in their ear saying this and that to them and giving them instructions. And that's it. It's the news for us. That's why I'm so glad that we have like Black Talk Radio Network, where you can tune in and you can get your BTR news. You can get some real news that we want to hear, something that's relative to our community. So thank you, messing with my melanin. And there's so many ways that our melanin is being hijacked. When you're constantly feeling like you're unsafe and in fear and stress, that messes with your melanin. We should not feel. Yeah.
Makes you depressed.
Fearful.
Makes you paralyzed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We shouldn't feel fear. Fear and your well-being does not mix well. There's no way that you should walk around being fearful. And you believe in God or a higher being. Like I remember when people used to say, I don't fear nothing but God. But why are we supposed to be fearing God when God is supposed to be this loving person that created the heavens and the earth,
right,
and all of this? And I mean,
right,
you know, what's all the fear about? Why got to be so fearful,
right,
of terrorists and all of this? If you mind your business, if you stop stealing from people and stop threatening people, then you won't have to be worried about not too much of anyone coming to attack you, unless you're just a common black person like us, and you know, we just walk around on the street or whatever, sit on your porch, and then cops come and harass you. But you know, in a normal situation, right? In a normal situation, those things, we're not supposed to just be fearful like that. And so, I mean, we can even just go back to the whole cop attacking us situation. That in and of itself causes the fear, and it messes with our melanin. It throws us off.
Right.
And like all, if you think of all the energy that we put in having to fight for our rights and protest, constantly being hemmed up in court or incarcerated in some slave plantation and all this crap, when we could really be taking all that time and energy and focus on being living our true purpose. Because some of us are here to fight for justice and protect people and things like that, but we can't really even focus on that in the good way that we're supposed to be living their purpose, because we're so busy fighting a system that's designed to keep us down. So,
exactly.
And it does.
We're not allowed to be creative.
Not allowed to be creative.
We're very creative people. Yeah, we're very creative mm-hmm. people. And we're not allowed to be creative when so much of our energy is just focused on surviving from day to day.
Surviving, working on somebody else's job, working on somebody else's dream. And so you don't have that time to work on your own dream. Just think if you were putting 8 to 10 hours a day in on your own dream and purpose. Mm-hmm. And that has hampered us, and it goes back to the whole it goes back to the whole programming, because we're so programmed in a sense to say, like, on the job we work so hard to keep the place clean, to do a good job, get that pat on the back. But then when it comes to your own home, and I'm not just talking about your domicile, I'm talking about your own home, your own life, you're negligent. Remiss.
So negligent.
In your duties. Yes.
Very remiss.
But you get on that job and you bust your ass.
Yeah.
You do everything. Do everything to have everything just perfect so that you can get that little award or get that little 20-year watch. You work for some company 20 years and they give you a Timex watch or some stuff like that. Or get your little pension check at the end. You know, all of this old stuff. When you could have put all that time, 25 years, into your own dream. So I hope that we get to a point where we can start. And I'm not saying everybody has to be an entrepreneur, because maybe everybody can't do that. That's not their goal. But have something that you do for yourself that makes you happy. And really, whatever it is that you really enjoy doing, what you love, some type of hobby or gift that you have, that's right. You can turn that passion into profit. There's a way.
Yep.
There's some passion that you have. That's right. That's why you have that gift. You can turn that passion into a profit. Oh, I love that. Turn that passion into a profit. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, but that's what we need to focus on. Get there and do it. Let me see. Oh, Scotty?
Yes.
Hi, Scotty. I'd like to hear one of those clips, and I think it's clip number one.
Okay. Dr. John Henry Clark.
I'm trying to. Yes, that's the one.
All right.
We want to hear from Brother Clark. Give us a little knowledge. We need to start honoring our ancestors a little bit more on the Lotus Place radio show. We used to give our libations to our ancestors. Brother Brown was in charge of that task. But tonight I did want to share, because John Henry Clark is like one of my absolute favorites. I mean, I could just listen to him for hours on end. And so tonight we want to just hear this clip from
I'm sorry, Dr. before John. I had the clip ready, but did you notice whose profile I use for the default profile for everybody who joined BTRcommunity.com?
Yes, yes, I did. Dr. John Henry Clark, you picked a good one.
Our crisis today, the crisis in Somalia, the crisis in Africa, the crisis in the Caribbean island, the crisis in the United States, that we have lost from our historical memory the time when we were in charge of the state and when we ruled the state. If the methodology taken out of our mind and not the mind of a foreigner, a faker, and a fool. when independence came to Africa, when the concept of independence came to the Caribbean islands, when we had our charade called the Civil Rights Movement, nobody was fighting to be totally independent of their former slave master. In some way, we were all crawling to get back on the plantation. We were fighting to consume his hamburger. We were fighting for the right to make our oppressor rich. So we did not understand the nature of liberation. And if you do not understand the nature of liberation, mentally, you are still a slave. Now, the slavery that we still must grapple with started in the 15th and the 16th century. Slavery started in the world when man emerged in the world and developed a fear and a weakness of other people and felt that they had to enslave another people to feel safe. That was one kind of slavery, but slavery based solely on race, on color. That's the slavery hatched from the European mind in the 15th and the 16th century. For there were periods when Europeans enslaved Europeans, Jews enslaved Jews. Now my focal point is that for most of your existence on this earth, you lived in independent states fashioned by your own mind. And that this great event has been removed from your historical memory. I want you to travel with me just a little while while we go behind that slavery curtain and see what did you do when you were in charge of the state all by yourself. You didn't ask any foreigner to assist you in any way, and you ruled the state exceptionally well. In some places, you ruled so exceptionally well, you had no word for jail in your language because no one had ever gone to one. You create words to describe what happened. If no one ever gone to something called a jail, you don't need a word for one. If you never threw away children, you needed no word for orphanage. If the life between a man and a woman worked and functioned because of the support system coming from both sides of the family, you never heard of a thing called divorce. Well, no one ever got one. You got mixed up with someone else's thing. Now understand me, I have gone over again over cultural incubation. When you come out of a cultural womb, the chemistry of that womb shapes your personality. When someone puts you into another womb, it's like putting you into the stomach of someone who's not your mother. The chemistry of your personality is shaped another way. Therefore, you had no wife beaters in Africa. You had no teenage pregnancy in Africa. So your worst traits were picked up from your oppressor because you were living in a state that you did not fashion. And because the state that you fashioned was removed from your historical memory, when finally you develop semi-independence because you had forgotten how you ruled the state, You became the imitators of the people who put you in that second incubator, where the chemistry of your personality changed to suit the slave master's chemistry and not the original chemistry of your birth.
Ooh, I just love Dr. John Henry Clark. He just makes it so clear for us, so transparent.
So plain.
Just make it plain. Just put it where the ghost can get it so people can get it. Not making it all complex, too complex for people. I mean, it's just very, very simple, people. As he said, how were we when we were in charge of the state of ourselves? And I love this particular lecture when he mentions, like, there was no word for jails or orphanage or divorce because it didn't exist. It's like we always think of, like, in African culture, caring for your parents or your grandparents, not necessarily sending them off somewhere else. They're generally close to the family, or live close to the family. The family lives in proximity to each other. Because we come from different cultures, like compounds or communities or villages. And one thing that I learned from one of my Nigerian professors when I was taking my African studies courses, I also took this class called Hausa, which 20 million people speak in West Africa. Hausa. Speak a little Hausa for everybody. But anyway, he mentioned how when we were learning the language, the custom is there's a string of salutations. You don't just walk by people and just say hi and keep walking. So, like, we had to learn, like, all of the salutations. So when you see your neighbor, and the homes were still, like, kind of in like a circular fashion in the ancient times, versus, like, now houses are like in a row. Like, we have some cul-de-sacs, but just envision, like, that's how the communities were, or families lived in communities like that, where everybody lived, like, in a circular type of design, versus this houses on this side of the street, houses on that side of the street. And with everyone living in that, like, circular design, when you walked out your house, you automatically came into contact with your neighbor or your family member. So that way you could always know about your neighbor's welfare. You knew how they were doing, if they were in need of something. So when you greet someone, you ask them, how are you? Hello, how are you? Of course, they respond. And then you would also say, how's your family? How's your mother? How are your children? How's your business? So you go through a string of those questions with the person because you really want to know how they're doing. It's not just, hey, how you doing? And then you just keep on walking and you don't even hear the person's response. I mean, I could think of two friends off the top of my head that I've gained just from asking them, this person that I didn't know, but I could see that they were totally troubled. And I stopped and said, are you okay? How are you? And one of those persons, one young lady, she was actually just in a really depressed state. I'm not going to say she was suicidal, but she was, like, in a really, really down and depressed state. And I was actually just pulling into my parking lot, where I used to live, and she was just sitting in her car, and I was like, man, that lady been sitting there for a long time, because I was getting my bags out of my car, and she was just staring at the ground, and I just stopped to talk to her, and we became friends, and she told me, you know, you really, really helped me that day, and she just told me how sad she was that day, and things that she was contemplating about her life. And so it's really good sometimes we just take that time my friends as much as I should, because I'm just so wrapped up into my life. I'm very wrapped up into my life, but it is good to have that concern for our friends, neighbors, and family members. And that's something that I've always make friends, and then I'm really big friends, and we'll be friends, and then sometimes I'll just fade away. It's like, and it's not on purpose. It's like something happened, like I lose their number. You know, back in the day before emails, I would lose their number or have my number changed, and I didn't call them and give them my new number. Then they have a new number. And so there were just different things like that. I would just end up losing a friend, not because, oh, I'm mad at you, I just don't want to talk to you anymore. That was always something that I felt like it was something that, you know, I did, and I could have kept in contact with them, but I didn't. But it wasn't because I didn't like them. It's just me and my idiosyncrasies. Just something with, it was something with me. So but I just love listening to Dr. John Henry Clark talk about, like, her African ways and how to get back to those ways. And any thoughts on that, Featherlight, on Dr. John Henry Clark? Sound like you have something to say.
I love the way he can break something down and walk you through it. You can actually visualize what he's saying, because I always think this way. I have thought this way for a while, that we have taken on so many habits and ways of people who are not of our origin. And it's just, you know, with me being the age that I am, I can see so much of it, and it is heartbreaking, because every few years there's a new terminology, a new word that's thrust at us, and it becomes a part of our everyday language, and it didn't used to be that way. Like Dr. Clark was saying, jails. You know, who went to jail? In the ancient times, it was no such thing. You met in this, like, circle of group, like you say, they were all in a, like, a little circle or neighborhood. There was a disagreement. The two were brought together by the elder, the wiser of the community. They talked about it. Determine what punishment is needed to be done, and you went on, you know, you went on. It was no locking somebody up and depriving them,
enslaving somebody, in the type of enslavement that exists today. Press ** if you would like to share a comment, and you can open up your mic. ** and you can join in on the conversation here at the Lotus Place. Let me also give out that phone number if people would like to call in, 866-510-9025. Press ** to unmute your mic. We're on the Uber conference line here. On this day, November 23rd in 1897, J.L. Love received a patent for the pencil sharpener. Patent number 594114. Pencil sharpener, something that many of us have used at some point in time in our lives. Quick break, and then you want to come back with your part two of your messing with my melanin, and then after that, have to dig into this Barashango clip. European holidays. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place Radio Show. And you guys know that Colin Kaepernick, the football player for San Francisco, I don't know what the team is, San Francisco something, can't think of it. But the one who started the whole kneeling for when the national anthem was played, he has been donating like $25,000 to several different organizations. He also had this like kids camp on like Know Your Right, children's camp on knowing your rights. So he's been donating like $25,000. I think like this month, or was it last month? This month, I believe, he donated like $25,000 to different organizations to help people. Not just like, oh, I'm just going to donate to the Red Cross. And I mean, it's like real organizations, right, that are supposed to help people. I want to keep following that, though, and see how all that's working out. So just want to commend him. And he's putting his money where his mouth is, and
doing what
needs to be done, getting things moving instead of just sitting back here and just staying on the sideline. So you go, Colin, with your fine self. Boy, I didn't know nothing about you till you sat down. Stood on that knee and distant. I didn't know nothing about no Colin Kaepernick. Your fine self. You go, boy. Shoot, I'm not mad at you. I love it. And there are over like 40 hate groups in New York State alone. Over 40. In
40.
New York State. And you know how people are always talking about how New York was so liberal and we don't tolerate that.
So no, bad.
You have like over 40 plus hate groups in New York State.
Wow.
And that is ridiculous. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah. Did you know, Featherlight, that even journalists, like people that are journalists by trade, have been educated in journalism, they are disgusted with the corporate media.
Totally
disgusted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally disgusted.
A lot of them have been laid off. The real ones have been laid off. They don't need real ethics anymore. Because they want to give the real news.
Yeah. Right.
And like in the movie 1984, they're not giving the real news. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of real news, I heard one person say that like the stories that corporate media barrages, what the barrage of the stories on corporate media is what people want to see, because a lot of people don't want to really hear the truth. They don't want to hear like heartwarming stories. They can't really handle the truth. So just hearing about, I guess, whatever CNN and Headline News and MSNBC talk about daily, that's okay for them. That's fine. So they don't seek out like independent media. They don't research the story. They just read the headline. Don't even really read the story, or don't research the story, or don't try to find like other writers, other articles referencing that particular topic. So do you think that is the case? Like, people just really don't want to hear the truth? They just want to avoid it? What are your thoughts?
Yes, for a lot of people, that means a change. That means that they have to react. that they have to do something, that they have to do something. They have to walk down a different street. And that's unfamiliar. That's, many people want to do what's familiar, what's comfortable, what's easy, you know. They don't want to have to care. You know, if you care, then that means you have to do something.
Yeah, I like that. If you care and if you're aware, then you have to change your life and you have to respond. I had a friend who used to say that all the time, because once you wake up or once you become informed, then you have this innate duty, you have this burning, you have to act on that burning and you have to do something, or else you just sit in this in allowing injustices to happen or the program, and you're allowing that to just continue on, and you're not doing anything to combat that. You're not fighting for yourself.
Right.
So.
Right.
I think Mother Hattie, I said hi, just joined us. I said hi. What's up?
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening to y'all.
Hello. Hello. Well, I wanted
How's
to sign.
How are you?
I'm good.
What's you?
Oh, I wanted to chime in when you mentioned the hate groups that were cropping up, and then people thought about different places being racist and not racist. And, you know, as you know, I'm in Minnesota. It's as far as north as you can go, right? Mm-hmm. And I have been telling and saying to people for many, many years, look, this is the American way. This is not the way of the South. And I don't know why they keep trying to pin it on the South being racist. Mm-hmm. And every place else is cool and okay. And on Friday, well, no, that's not Friday. Actually, it was just Tuesday, yesterday. I keep getting my days mixed up because this holiday is in here. But yesterday, I was talking with a Muslim woman, Somalian, who, you know, we were just talking about, you know, what's going on and the way that this country is going to be. And she's telling me how long she had been here. And I was asking, you know, how you doing? And, you know, she goes to school. Her children are at school that my boys are at, which is a Chinese immersion program. And before the end of the conversation, her comment was, well, I just feel sorry for those people in the South. That's what I wanted to laugh in her face. I said, Carmo, do you really? And she says, I said, do you really believe this is just a Southern situation? Well, yeah, the South, I feel sorry for the people there, because Minnesota's not so bad. Ooh, is she in for a rude awakening pretty soon?
Oh, my gosh, she
if she has not hit it yet, oh, my God, I feel sad. It's going to be a culture shock to her when she finds out.
Right, right. So how's it looking for Keith Ellison up there? He's, his head is,
of the DMC,
name is in the
DMC
hat, right?
Leader or what?
Yes.
Well,
for DNC.
You know, yeah, and I don't even know. I haven't spoken with him if he wants it, or if this is kind of one of those. You know how they recruit us for certain things? Somebody threw your hat in there. I know Elizabeth Warren and I think Schumer, a couple of others really are in his corner to do it. But, I mean, that doesn't say that he really wants to do that. I don't know. I'd have to ask the person myself to kind of see them, look them in the face and see if they're trying to tell him, give me the correct, you know? So, yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know. A lot of people are talking about it, and some people are now saying, you know, this is just in the media, local media, well, how can he do both of those jobs? Because DNC leader is the head, you know, is like a two, you know, time job anyway, and how can he do that? And
I'm thinking, hi, Icy,
hi. Debbie Wasserman Schultz did it when she was still and holding her seat. And then
that's what I was just about to say. And everybody else.
And anybody and everybody else is like, what's this political mess here? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. What are you trying to say?
That's going to be an interesting one. That's what it looks, sounds like to me. You don't have the well, I think they're really looking at the his age and his time being in, as a congressman. I think that's what they're looking at more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, please.
Well, we'll see. We'll keep a watch on that story.
Well, I just wanted to go back to this lady. And oh, I'm sorry, you wanted to go on?
Oh, no, go ahead on. You want to...
Black Rose, Black Rose, I didn't know if you noticed, you got another open mic. I put it in the chat, but just, hey, Icy, and you took the words right out of my mouth. I was saying Debbie Wasserman Schultz just did it. So why y'all tripping on Mr. Ellison like that? But Black Rose, you do have Ross waiting. I think he wants to comment.
Oh, okay, that'd be great. You can comment as soon as I see how it finishes.
Yeah. Thanks, but I just wanted to say that last part about this parent, this woman, who really believes that certain places are so liberal, and when in fact, in every pocket of America, it's just what it said it was when it allowed this man who's really off the charts to be in that highest seat of this land. That to me said it all. And why can't they see through that whole scheme of things there? But that's kind of all I wanted to just share with you on that part.
Thank you so much. We'll just continue the conversation. About the South. I had a friend, I have a friend in Michigan that is always saying that, like, I don't see how y'all do it. And you down there in Texas, ooh, baby, how you making it down there? I need to come get you and marry you and bring you up here. I saw you up there where they beat that man, Reginald Denty, beat him right there in the little area in Dearborn, Michigan.
Wait a minute, hold up. Right. And gave the people all the poison water?
Yeah. You want me to come up there? And where your Democratic governor, what's her name? What's that lady? Jennifer something, whatever their governor was at the time, when she took the land from the black people and made it state property, and it was supposed to be community property, and the man left that Belle Isles for the community, for the children of the community to be able to come and play for free. Right, and she's the one that was up there with all the Reverend Pinckney business going on. She was up there. A lot of that filtered down from her administration as well. So, child, please, get out of here talking about what we're experiencing down here in the South.
And New York.
That's why so many black people moving back down to the South.
Right.
I know, that's right.
Stop and frisk. Come on.
Where you can kill a man on camera and get away with it. Get out of here.
New York, y'all better shut on up. That's what I tell all my New York friends when they come up with, well, New York has always been very liberal. I say, what planet did you get dropped out of? New York?
Yeah, whatever.
Hey, yeah.
So, Ross, welcome in. How are you?
Greetings. How are you doing?
Greetings, I'm well, and you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Greetings to you, Feather Light, as well, and Sister Icy, too. Greetings to all of you all.
Greetings.
Yeah, it's a great show. I'm a first-time caller. Oh, thank you. I always catch the archive, so this is the first time I've been able to call in live, and it's actually been a treat. I just wanted to comment on a few things that you discussed, because you guys really touched on some poignant things. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I live in Jersey. I call Jersey Alabama of the North because of how racist New Jersey is. New York is the same. There's parts of New York City that black people will not be caught after sundown. So there's sundown towns in New York City. So I don't want to hear anything about New York being, you know, I take Minister Malcolm's take on it. Anywhere south of the Canadian border is down south, as far as that's concerned.
That's for sure.
I think it was just Icy said, you know, this is a system of white supremacy, and this country is racist from top to bottom and from east to west. So there's nowhere to escape it. Yep, you're absolutely right. And I love Dr. Clark.
Regions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I love Dr. Clark because actually I used to sit at his feet, my dad and my mom, when they came here from the Caribbean in the early 70s. Literally him and Dr. Ben were the first two African warrior scholars that my father took me to see. And I love those brothers. They were just amazing. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Clark is just, he has a rich insight into how our psychopathology has developed under the system of white supremacy. And, you know, the fact that we don't function in a sovereign manner. We function as the subjects of these white people who have trained us for 500 years mm-hmm. to be what they wanted us to be, which was essentially dehumanizing mm-hmm. us anyway. And until we start to find those places in ourselves that are missing to us, that those of us that are not, you know, conscious and seeking to really study, you know, who we are and what our origins really are about, it's a lot of work, you know, and I think for those who get into it, it's life-altering. If you don't, then you're just perpetually just tossed around in this racist sea and don't really know where you're going to end up. So Dr. Clark was just incredible. And the poem that Sister Feather Light read, Messing with My Melanin, reminds me of Dr. Darren T. Smith. He was on the Cows a couple of times, and he discussed the fact that, you know, for black people, he studies epigenetics, and he actually was able to determine that literally for black people, just being in the presence of white people makes us sick. And I've always posited that our genes have been changed. That's what I believe. Over time, I think black people's genes have been changed to be accepting of white supremacy as a survival strategy. I brought this up, I believe, on Tando, that I was talking about a documentary I saw about elephants and the fact that now they're finding elephants in Africa being born without tusks. And that's a genetic response to white supremacy, being poached and being killed. So in order to survive to a ripe old age, they're now being born without tusks. And the scientists are saying eventually there will be no elephants born with tusks. And what I posit is that after 500 years of white supremacist tyranny, that a great majority of our people are born genetically predisposed to kowtow to white supremacy. And when you find those of us that are rebellious and those of us who are fighting against the system, it's those of us whose ancestral memory is kicking in a way, and those of us who are birthed and developed to kowtow to the system are not. And I believe that it's the genetic predisposition that in response to us being murdered, just like Dr. Kamal Kamban talked about the teenage birth rate amongst black people, and when it's really high, he was speaking about the fact that that is also, in his mind, and I agree with him, a genetic response to our children being murdered. So they're almost like, well, let me hurry up and make a baby now because I might not live long enough to become an adult and have a job and have a family. So let me do it now at the age of 14 because I might get killed tomorrow. And I agree with him. I believe that we're genetically being changed. And I think this was what white supremacy was designed to do over time and to be self-perpetuating. And when you were talking about African families living in compounds, you are absolutely correct. The first grid cities were found in Africa in the Nile Valley, and in West Africa and a lot of areas in Central Africa, they live in circular cities, which were designed to follow the way the universe functions and the way, if you see like stars and you see that spiral, basically our communities were meant to mirror the stars and mirror the sky. So you're absolutely correct. And actually, when people talk about prostitution being the world's oldest profession, that is for white people. There was no such thing as prostitution, just like there was no such thing as jail. And the reason why is exactly what you talked about, the fact that African people lived in compounds. So you had an entire extended family living in one place. You did not live separated from your great-grandmother and your grandmother and your mother and her sisters and brothers. Mm-hmm. They lived together. And the only time a woman left her compound is if she married someone. So there was no way for her to be alone to go sell her wares to anyone. And besides, in African culture, we revered the woman. We were a matriarchal society, and I would really say it was a balanced society, but the woman was primary because we understood that from her, all life sprung, and she holds a special place as the deity. And that's something that we understood intimately, and something that's now been taken from us due to white supremacy and the inculcation of Western religion. And when you were talking about Westworld, I've been watching that too. I was listening to another broad talk radio with another brother named Robert X. And in the discussion, I brought up the fact that to me, the hosts, even though they have them depicted as white people, in my opinion, they're meant to depict black people under the system of white supremacy, because everything that is being done to black people is being done to them. And when you see Tandy Newton's character wake up and realize that she's getting screwed around, and she decides to flip it on them.
Right, black people waking up and making the white supremacy to take our power.
That's how I view it. Absolutely. And
exactly.
I think if people watch
me
it,
too.
Yeah, if
me
people
too.
Watch it, they'll really get to understand those hosts. Because if you think about it, we have been turned into new beings. And I say new beings, I mean N-E-W-B-E-I-N-G. And that's what I mean when I speak about epigenetics. We have been turned into new beings. We are no longer the Africans of the past, even though we carry them in our DNA and we express them every day and who and what we are. And we're not even consciously aware of Africa being there, but it's there. But ultimately, we've been made into new beings under this system, which is to function as the servants of these white people who terrorize us. And until we wake up from that, and I don't really like the term wake up per se, because everyone comes into understanding in their own time, so it's not really a process of waking up. It's not an instantaneous thing for a lot of people, but just coming out of that matrix of understanding and going back to that autonomous that independent sovereign way of being, where you understand that you are a being of nature and a deity, and not, you don't have to be subject to these people. They're not anybody to be subject to. And the idea of, like Dr. Wilson talked about, black self-respect. Just once you get into that understanding, your response will be different. And when enough of us come out of that matrix and our response becomes different, we'll see a shift in the system in a way we probably aren't even, I think, ready for, as far as being visually treated to what that would look like down the road. So thank you so much for giving me a bit of your time, and I'll go back into the queue and listen to the rest of the show. And, you know, if you say anything interesting, hopefully I'll get a chance to chime in again before we go off. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, because you said so much that I was just sitting here like nodding my head like, yes, 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 absolutely, absolutely.
Me too.
The genes have been changed theory. I totally agree with that, because it is like our genes have been changed. And that's what people, I've heard different scholars speak about how, if you think about, let's just visualize plantation life, and when certain males or the strong female, when they were broken down, when they were seasoned in front of the entire community, and the sight of seeing a person lynched, or the sight of fired and quartered, or the sight of seeing a male, your father, the strongest man in the community, being raped by someone, that fear went into our DNA. And it's just like with the lynchings, that fear, seeing your loved one or the person down the street that you knew, the man that used to run the store, because those a lot of the people that they were killing, the business owners and the educated black people. But when you see, I tell you, I just can't even imagine seeing a person hanging from a tree. I remember giving a lynching presentation when I was at the University of Memphis, and it was just, it was really difficult just trying to explain this, and also having this visual in my head of like, what would I do if I saw a person lynched in a tree?
Yeah.
I mean, that would have to stay with you for the rest of your life. And then just imagine you saying that on a constant basis every single day. So it does, instead that fear is instilled in your DNA and it goes in our genes and it does reconstruct us. I truly believe that. I totally do.
I do too.
And in terms of the teen pregnancy, it's locked in. In terms of the teen pregnancy, Icy Hot has mentioned this before. We've had this discussion. And some people feel like, oh, you shouldn't have, the teenagers shouldn't have these babies, and people need to stop having all these children. They can't take care of them. Well, there are plenty of people like myself that would love to take care of them. A lot of people are taking care of other children. That was the community way to take care of someone's child, your sister's baby, and your friend's child. I mean, we took care of each other. We looked out for each other. We cared for each other. And so we talked about this with maybe these young girls should keep populating since we're being killed so recklessly. So, yes, let's populate. Let's keep having these babies. I don't see anything wrong with creating life. I feel like if you want to bring life into this world, if you feel like you can't take care of their child, then yes, give that child to someone who can take care of it, because there are plenty of people who do want to. So yes, I hope that the young girls and the older women do continue to have children for sure.
Black Rose.
And Westworld, yes, what's up, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Just want to remind you, you still got two clips. We got about 30 minutes. We can bypass this next break. Just want to do my job as your engineer. But also, just what you just said, I was thinking the response to abortions. Because I subscribe to a bunch of different groups and stuff, and you have the black groups that's calling it black genocide. The abortion rate, but because I study statistics a lot in the population statistics, the black community continues to grow. The black population continues to grow. So I'm not saying that there's not that, you know, people feel how they feel about abortion, and no, I would never support an abortion. But that's me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to impose my will on anybody else. But if our population numbers are growing, how can that be a genocide? A genocide is when the population is decreasing, being exterminated. So that's what I was thinking when he mentioned that might be a survival response.
Any thoughts on that, Featherlight or Icy Hot?
I don't know.
I haven't thought about it like that. Go ahead,
Asha. That's okay. No, I didn't know that our population was. So that's good information to have and know that we were growing, because it doesn't seem like that here where I am, because I've seen the black population in the public schools pretty much diminish, and then it's taken over by other cultures, Hispanic culture, and immigrants.
Could that be some of those black people coming back down south, as we talked about, or homeschooling? But I'm just speaking strictly about numbers, because also another report came out.
I haven't looked at the census. The census, definitely tells you all of that.
Yes, and the quote-unquote white population, for the first time in history, has their death rate exceeded, well, their birth rate was below their death rate. So meaning they had a negative.
Well, yes, we know that was happening. We knew that.
Yes. So, I mean,
didn't know they were depleting. But I think with them, from my understanding now, and this is how we count them, and I'm just thinking from the school perspective, that these are counted. They used to count like black Americans that came from slave descendants separately from African immigrants. However, now the African immigrants are pooled in, counted in with everybody, and I'm wondering if that might be why the African census is greater now. Scotty, and I don't know the answer to that, but I know that's how,
a good question.
That's what happened here. About 10 years ago, they started counting in African immigrants with slave descendant Africans.
Hmm. Well,
well, in the case, say we baby kids, we don't die, we multiply.
Hey, you know when the brother was talking,
we just have that ability.
That's true.
We're very fertile.
The brother was talking, and you know what came to me? I tell you, I have this new name for white supremacy, and it's called white psychopathology. White psycho.
But you know, is blacks in there too? That psycho what?
Psychopath, psycho really. What? Psychopath.
Oh, white psychopath.
It's not white supremacy. It's white psychopathology.
White psychopathology. Okay. All right. White psychopathology.
Because that kind of gives it, white supremacy kind of gives it a normalcy. It's really white psychopathology.
Yeah, because we said that we would that. And we said that we would use supremacy white anyway.
Because they're not supreme.
I have to come up with something that makes sense, because it's, you know, to treat anybody as inhuman, it's just psycho to not treat people as human beings. You have no humanity. You're psycho.
You're not in line with the universe. You're not of God. You're just
not at all.
You're completely out of line.
It's just you're psycho.
Okay. So, that's another one. We will write that down. White
psychopathology.
Psychopathology. White psychopathology. Yeah. All right, then. Okay. Feather Light, did you have anything else you would like to share with us? Did you finish your readings and poems?
Oh, yeah. No, I had part two.
Okay. Let's have part two, and then we'll go into Scotty the Barashango clip.
Okay.
All right, bring it to us.
Part two.
Dim the lights, and everybody get ready to snap your fingers for the spoken word. Feather Light. Coming to the mic, we have Feather Light, and she's about to put it down for the people missing. With my
you hate me, you admire me. What would you be without me? You think I'm despicable, but you know I'm magic. I build, you destroy. I create, you imitate. I invent, you patent. I react on what I see, and you live your life vicariously through me. Because without me, you know not what to do. Am I still on stage for you? Am I still entertainment for you? Click, click, click. They're messing with my melanin. I twirl, I spin, I jump, I stroke. I'm fast, I'm strong. I create. And I populate. I'm civilized and conscious, but they keep messing with my melanin. So do you meditate? You mean pray? No, praying is talking. Meditate, you listen. How else you gonna get your answers? But I pray. You got any answers yet? I don't have time. Why? Man, they messing with my melanin. CNN, FBI, NAACP, ABC, CDC, CIA, ISIS, EPA, HARP, COINTELPRO, DEA, FDA, ADD, ADHD. Is it good or is it bad? My mind, body moves faster than you can regulate, so you label me deficient? Hey, I believe you're messing with my melanin. Why all the secrecy? Why not make it plain? Alphabet names ruling our lives. playing us like a game. We're so confused, so distracted, so blinded by all these illusions. How can one evolve, create their own path, while entertaining so much damn confusion? I'm going to protect my melanin. Chemicals and more chemicals. Melanin's kryptonite. It's a slow and sure kill. It's all around us. Manufactured slow demise. Taken at will. We smoke it, eat it, drink it, lavish it on our form. But now there's a method that's more swift, overt, and effective. Shoot to kill. Pow, pow. No questions asked. Has now become the norm. Oh, they messing with my melanin. What's that in that shot? What you trying to force on me? Using my third eye, I don't think it's going to be good for me. Call it the shift, conspiracy, or maybe just common sense. I can't tell. But I'm awake now and no longer under their spell. They got tricks. We got magic. It's time to pull it out. They think they got us whipped for sure, but we'll show them what this melanin's really about. We gonna be all right, right? We gonna be all right. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Oh yeah, let me. All right. Namaste. Thank you for that. And we gonna be all right, right?
Right?
Yes. And we will be all right. I know people have been falling out, breaking down about this election and all of that. But I'm like, what difference does it make?
Yes.
What difference does it make? So, I mean, just keep focus on your dreams, stack your money, prepare for the shift.
Work on yourself. Yes.
Get your survival kit together, your survival skills. Have your emergency plan together. Put your little money in your tin box. And keep on living. Because we will be all right. We will be all right. We have gone through so much. And we may go through
so
some more.
So much.
But nevertheless, we will
survive. We are surviving
survive.
People.
We will not just survive. We will thrive. We are resilient.
Thrive.
I always say roaches can survive. We want to thrive, and that we will do, that we are doing, we are thriving. So people, don't get stressed out, just breathe and stay focused, and don't get so stressed out. If you are stressed out, please go see a therapist. If you do not have health insurance, if you cannot get Obamacare, then call up one of these 1-800 hotlines and talk to somebody. Go to a bar and have one of those bartenders talk to you. A lot of people use bartenders as therapists, but find someone that you can talk to, because unfortunately, some of us feel like we don't have a friend that we could open up and talk to, because sometimes your friends are so judgmental, and sometimes they know your life story. You may need to just share your life story or share a problem with someone who is unbiased and someone who may be judgmental as a close friend would be. Because a lot of times a therapist, they're not there they're just there for you to really talk, because we already come here knowing what to do. We know what our purpose is. We know what we're supposed to do. Some of us, if you believe, you've already written your script, like we were talking about in the Westworld. That's why I really like this series. I'm on episode 7, and I need to just stop right now and just go all the way back up to 1, because now I can see really what's going on. But if you're not watching Westworld on HBO, my goodness, that's a good one to watch, because it's dealing with so much that's in relation to, and I look at shows for the message and the messages and what's really the premise behind everything. What do you really say? I look at some of these series and these films for entertainment. What can I learn? This is talking about how you can either allow someone to be in control, you can just be that host, or they can pot you up, pot you down, control your emotions, have you just completely programmed in the matrix, or you can write your own script and you can be the star of your own play and you can control things and you can you can control your life and speak things into existence. Believe it and speak right. It and manifest and not let somebody else just you. And that's what we do. That's what we're subjected to quite often when it comes to like corporate media, just constantly programming us, sending us up on these highs and these lows, and seeing constant death on the screen. That's so not good for us. That's not good for your nervous system. Of course, I like to stay informed, but at the same time, I know I have to protect my melanin. I have to protect myself. I have to protect my sanity. Yes. And I have to stay focused on what I came here to do. So,
exactly.
I just want to say that. So, Scotty, can you play that Barashango clip for us, please? I think it's the third clip. Let me see. Which one is that?
On our own
the third one.
Created the science of agriculture, the success of the hunt. The rituals and celebrations of the rites of passage, all these things are good reasons for celebration. For us, we have a lot to celebrate in that we were able to survive this beast all this time in this hostile environment and still come out with some degree of sanity. I said some degree because, as Dr. Ben says, we are all crazy to some extent, having been here and survived under these conditions. But we're still able to function. And also, we celebrated so often victory over an enemy. But never in the history of the world have I ever heard of a people celebrating the victory of their enemies over them. Do you get my point here? They may remember that, but they will not celebrate it. The only people I know now presently in the world is the Negro and other people who are mentally subjugated by white supremacist culture around the world that celebrate their enemies' defeat of them. So when we study European holidays, we have to ask, whose victory are we celebrating? Kris Kringle means the birth of the Christ child. Now this I got to ask you. Now wait, man, so let's be logical. Let's put aside belief and all that. Let's be logical. And I'm thinking, how can a little short, dumpy, fat, red suit, red and white suit and wearing puffy faced white man be a representative of or one and the same of the Christ child born over in a hot land in Palestine, a black boy in a manger in a stable? Who eventually was assassinated for rebelling against the Roman government. Where's the connection? But here's the foolishness of it. I don't mean to sound arrogant or anything, but it just sounds foolish to me. Look, these young people are coming to me with this and to us with this. Now, either you're going to deal with reality with them or you're going to lose them altogether. But these fantasies are not going to keep it. They may have worked for you in your time because you didn't know any better. God winked on your ignorance because you didn't know no better. But now the door has been opened. The light is here. And if you fight against it, you fight against yourself. You prick against yourself in fighting against it. I'm not trying to convert you to anything. I'm not trying to get you to join anything but yourself. I want you to do your own thinking. And you can't do your own thinking unless you know this as well as that. Then you got some information you can work with in your brain computer. Other than that, you'll be walking around supporting their system and keeping them going from now on. That's why God will have to kill you with them too, because you won't let go. But he's going to get them. He and she going to get them. Ain't no doubt about that in my mind. I might not be allowed to see it, but they're going to get got.
The law of karma is an immutable law. What goes around comes around. Never fail. All you got to do is study history and you will see that. Here's the thing that shows the insanity that we have come into since we've been captivated here. You work hard to get money. And you got to do it. You're compelled to do it. It's a sin against God if you don't do it. You offend the baby Jesus if you don't do it. Get this money. I got to get this white man this money. And he put you in a state of panic and hysteria. There's only 20 days left to Christmas. Only 15 days left to Christmas. And he come at you through your babies. Because you know, black folks don't like to deny their babies nothing. It's hard to say no to your babies. And they lacking so much in the world today anyway, so you figure, at least I can give them this little bit of something. I know what you're thinking now. Let me ask you something, though. How in the name of heaven do you do all this? You got to work hard, and 2 and 3 extra jobs, and wrapping packages and maces and stuff. Spending money you ain't got. Wait till the babies go to sleep at night. And here you go with your fool self. Shit, tip them out. But you done hid somewhere. They wake up the next morning, their eyes all bright and looking at stuff around the tree. Come here, baby. Look what Santa Claus done for you. Now, you can do what you want. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to work my butt off. Buy something for my children and tell them some white man did. But here's a part of the mental genocide of that. You lied to your child for 10, 12 years. You may think that's a light thing, but it isn't. You have your child believing in something, and I mean we believe in it. I was hurt. I cried for 2 days when they told me it wasn't no Santa Claus. I cried, man. And I'm trying to figure out how can my mama, who's a beautiful woman, who loved me and worked hard, working in white folks' house, washing their clothes and ironing their clothes and rubbing their clothes and dying, take care of me. How can she lie to me like that? And it establishes, if the child is not conscious, it establishes subconsciously a distrust. Time is running out. It establishes a distrust. And anything else you say. So now by the time they get to adolescence, you wonder why they don't trust what you say to them. Right. You don't lie to them like that. For what? To give white folks the credit? You look at it and realize you have been living in a fool's paradise, so to get over that, you break out the bottle and have Christmas cheer. And then once you get that alcohol in you and start thinking about you done spend money you don't have, about how you gonna get your rent paid next month or your mortgage paid or feed your babies in January, then you resort to the ritual of busting each other upside the head. I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, I couldn't figure out why on such a beautiful day, when I had all these toys and it was so lovely and Santa Claus and Jesus and everybody had come and everybody was so happy, that a fight always broke out before the day was over. Now I know.
All right, and that was Baba Reverend Dr. Barashango, born April 27th, 1938, and he made the transition and became an ancestor January 14th, 2004. I remember listening to that entire lecture. It's about 2 hours long, but listening to that lecture, and I was like, oh my God, this man, he just fills his lectures with history. He can bring it from a historical perspective, religious perspective, philosophical perspective, and just down home where the ghost can get it. And he always laces his lectures with a little comedy. I just love it, love it, love it. And so that was a clip speaking on European holidays. So the psychology and pathology of European holidays, and how we adopt and accept and celebrate holidays that have nothing to do with the actual day that we're supposed to celebrate, or why are we even celebrating that day anyway, when it has nothing to do with us or nothing to do with Thanksgiving in relation to how we think of Thanksgiving. So just wanted to share that with everyone, and we will start sharing more Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben Barashango and many others here at the Lotus Place, because I tell you, listening to some of these speakers, it just, God, it enlightened me in such a way, and it prepared me to be able to not only have conversations where I could debate facts, but also just be able to feel better and have self-confidence and understand and know who I am. And better yet, to know I don't even have to argue with you. Like Dr. Clark said, equals. So I don't even have to debate you. You can't bring me any facts. What you're saying makes no sense anyway, because guess what? Now, oh, speaking of which, let me just say this quickly before we get ready to close out and take some closing comments. I don't know if people were able to see the Roland Martin interview with this, what do you call it, Mother Hattie, white psychopath. This guy calls himself a white nationalist, white psychopath. Anyway, Roland Martin, he really did handle him. I got to give it to you. Clap, snaps, and all of that. He handled him. One thing that Roland Martin had him on, when the person, I can't think of this man's name, I'm not even trying to memorize his name, but one thing that the person mentioned was that white people created agriculture. And Roland Martin let him slide with that and said that black people did all the work. Well, actually, black women did create the reseeding process of agriculture. So there was no reseeding of the seed until African women started doing this. So yes, we did create agriculture. So there was just one little thing, Roland, that you let him slide on. But you had him during the rest of that interview. Did anybody get a chance to see that interview with Roland Martin?
I didn't see. I saw some of it. I didn't see. Mm-hmm. I was listening as it was playing, but I haven't mm-hmm. seen. I need to watch that. I would like to see him really slam him.
Well, it's kind of lengthy.
Because he can do it so well.
Yeah, it's about a 30-minute interview. It was kind of dragging on. I don't think I would have been in conversation with that guy that long, because he clearly was not prepared for Roland's deliverance.
No, they sent the wrong one.
Oh, yes, sure. Yes, I'm sorry. You can be heard.
Oh, can I be heard? Oh, thank you.
Sure.
I wanted to chime in on what you just said, because you are absolutely correct. In Nile Valley High culture, we call the earth Geb, which is a male deity, and the mother is Nut, mm-hmm. who encompasses the entire mm-hmm. universe, which means the man is a part of the woman's universe, not the other way around. And ultimately, it was said that it was a Set who invented agriculture, because Asar was actually a deity of vegetation, besides the deity of the resurrection. And it was said that only the African woman could coax the plant from the soil. And she was the one who would, like exactly what you said, till the soil. And matter of fact, even when they kidnapped our ancestors and brought them here from West Africa and Central Africa, actually, agriculture was the woman's job. Literally, women were the ones who actually planted the plants, attended to the plants, and eventually harvested the plants. And men would go out and hunt. So it was very interesting because our ancestors, especially when they forced men, African men, to slave on the plantation as far as the cotton fields, it was a very, very emasculating thing because in African culture, the woman literally was the one who did the agriculture because, like I said, she was the one who can coax the deity to give up of himself those whatever plant matter they were planting, whether it was millet or whether it was corn or rice. Just to let people know, the use of rice was invented in Africa and went to China. So there is
and
don't it, let them fool you.
Rice,
the
it was
Chinese
brought
people
here
invented
too.
Planting rice. It was African people who brought it there.
Yeah, the Gullah people of South Carolina and Georgia, they brought rice here as well. But I mean, come on, if you're going to talk about the Nile Valley. In which is in Africa, of course. I mean, how were they feed? Didn't they have crops? I mean, I thought agriculture was cultivating crops, right? So, I mean, again,
right.
why I'm like Black Rose right. or Dr. John Henry Clark. Some of these people ain't our equals. This is why you don't hear me, not anymore. I used to, but you don't hear me bringing on. White people with opposing views on anything, you know, that's in the media, because I've had them on before, but I'm like, they're not my equal. They don't know this simple fact. They still think slavery was abolished in 1860. I'm not going to waste my time, so I'd rather just teach. Right. If I have to just be the sole voice, I'll just teach. I don't need you.
And that's how I feel about it, and you're exactly right. And so I wish that he would have actually just delved into that and went down that road with him and just explained to him how inaccurate he was to even try to even bring that statement out like that. Of course we created agriculture. It's even stupid just to argue that. That doesn't even make any sense. That's asinine. I wouldn't even argue that. I would lay out the facts to him and move him along and just tell him, you need to go and you just go back to the library. Don't even go to Google. Just go. You need to go to the library for real and sit down in an enclosed space.
Stay
like
a
we
few
used
hours.
To do. Yeah, yeah. You should do like Dr. Clark when he went to go. Study. You should do it just like him. You should try some of the things that we try. But thank you so much, Roz, for that. You have any other closing comments for us? We're sure to thank you for calling in and joining us tonight. I really, really did appreciate your commentary tonight. So on point. And do call in again.
Yes,
keep
thank
tuning
you.
In.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I love. Oh, thank you, thank you. And I love the clip of Baba Barashango. He is a grandsister. I have all of his three books. There's one called The African Woman, The Original Guardian Angel, and then there's a two-volume set of African People, European Holidays, and Mental Genocide. Those are the titles. I would suggest every Black person in earshot get those books. They will change your life, especially if you practice Western religion in particular. It will really, really give you a nice understanding of what it is you're celebrating. I remember Dr. Ben said many years ago, African people are the only people who, once supposedly free from subjugation, continue to worship their enemies' gods, and that no people who worship their enemies' gods can ever be truly free. Because you have to remember the Jesus that you pray to every day, hoping that, you know, your boss doesn't mistreat you or a cop doesn't gun down your child, is the same Jesus they prayed to when they were raping your ancestors and pillaging your people and throwing you in the bottom of a ship and gang raping you on seasoning plantations. So keep that in mind. Every time you shout that name, you are shouting the name that your ancestors were beat into saying. And it wasn't anything that was foreign to them, because we invented Christianity. The oldest Christian country is Ethiopia. The oldest Christian church is the Egyptian Coptic Church. The second oldest Christian church is the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And from that sprang what is known as Roman Catholicism. And with Roman Catholicism, all sorts of perversion and white supremacy is what has taken over the world as we've seen today. So we really have to study who and what we are, because they know us better than we know us. And until we know us and then we know our enemy, we're going to be in trouble. And that is something that Dr. Clark always admonished us to do, is to know our enemy. Study your enemy and you'll realize that we are living in the Matrix. There's literally movies like The Matrix, shows like Westworld, is telling you that what we're living in. And the idea is that this is a fourth world set up by a bunch of creatures. These aren't even human beings. These are sub-animals. That's what I call them, because that's what they function like. And the idea is that we have to start putting our own sovereignty, our own black self-respect at the highest priority level. And when you're raising your children, you teach them the glory of their history, and you teach them how they got to this point. Mom, Dad, how did I get to the point that you can't function as a viable father because white people will kill you? You can't protect me as your child. You can't protect my mom because they have subjugated us. How did we get there? Help them to understand that these people rape children. They rape animals. They kill people. The people who saved them are the same people that they genocided and ate. Read a book called Mummies, Cannibals, and Vampires. It will change your life. It'll help you understand how they do us. Read a book called The Delectable Negro, which specifically deals with the wholesale rape of the black male and cannibalism, because they ate black people, and they still eat black people. We have to really understand the creatures we're dealing with. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much for an incredible show. I'm glad, as a first-time caller, to be able to touch base with you. And, oh, yeah, both of you have wonderful avatar pictures, I have to tell you. You're beautiful black sisters. I love you both. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Can you give us the name of those books again, please?
Sure.
Can you give us the three books that you've
Sure. The last one I said was The Delectable Negro by Vincent Woodard.
I'm about to order that one right now.
Dr. Barashango's books are African Woman, The Original Guardian Angel, and he goes into the fact that guardian angels come from Kemet and that the black woman was the guardian angel, as she is the original deity. And then his two-volume set is African People, European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, and it's volumes 1 and volume 2. Those are must-haves. It'll really, really, really shift your consciousness and really help you to understand what we are doing and how we are spiritually subjugating ourselves by worshiping our enemies' gods. And hopefully, you know, some of us will start to really understand that. And like Dr. Clark always said, if your religion, whether you choose to practice Western religion or not, if your religion is not a tool of your liberation, then it belongs in the ash can of history. And for me, that's what I did with Western religion. It might not work for everybody, but that's what works for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roz. And if you could, when you get a chance, if you have an opportunity, if you could post those books on BTR and then tag me in the post, that would be great. And then I can share it, and that way we'll have it. Because I did get a chance to write those names down. But that would be great to have it posted as well. Thank you so much, brother. And I would just conclude on that, but I just have to dovetail him on some of those points that he brought out, because I just love a man when he can bring it like that. In terms of speaking about and also to bring home what you talked about in your poem, Messing with My Melanin, and what Brother Roz shared with us, when we look at this increase of, we've been seeing these swastikas, and people have been getting so inflamed and upset because they're seeing these swastikas, which are associated with Nazi and Hitler and all that. So black folks just scared. They got this little fear going on, messing with your root chakra and all of this. Listen, that swastika is an African and Dinka symbol. Just as the brother just mentioned, these people will twist everything around and they'll have you all jacked up and scared and worried and fearful about something that they're scribbling and scrawling everywhere. That is our symbol. And so when you see that, that's a symbol. Google it. Just Google African and Dinka symbols. Google swastika, African, anything like that. And you will see several articles, several tons of information about how that symbol is our symbol. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because he mentioned about Ethiopia and the churches that in Ethiopia they would build deep in the ground, and they call them lalabias. And in some of these lalabias, you will see that swastika symbol. It's just that ancient. And that's a symbol of good luck and protection. And so, see, these people know what they're doing when they take, like, our quote-unquote Christianity and spirituality religion and twist it around and distort it and then serve it back up to us on a whole nother plate. So they take our symbol,
right,
and then they want to serve it back to us and use it on us as a fear tactic. So the next time your child comes home and say that, hey, they scribbled some swastikas or you saw a swastika at work, stand up there and say, "Woo, thank you. Yes, babe, I'm getting ready to have some luck because somebody just put this symbol up here. Woo, it's getting ready to pour down." Throw them back off. Don't let them keep throwing us off. Throw them off and watch them change. Well, really, don't even watch and worry about whether they change. You change. And that's what we've been talking about here at the Lotus Place all year, is you change. You be in control.
Right.
Don't let them control us. Don't let them jack your minds. Don't let them have you acting like a psychopath, as we just discussed. You be on track, on target for your goals. Focus on you. So that is our symbol. This is our life. Live your life and don't worry about them. They're going to keep doing what they've always done: rob, steal, kill, and pillage, and spread diseases. That
exactly.
So,
and suck up your energy. Like energy vampires.
Right. I'm not going to let anybody suck up my energy, white or black or whatever. You're not sucking up my energy. I'm doing me. And this,
the swastika is a symbol of life, sun, power, and good luck. Do not let a dark period of time ruin something that was created with more purpose. Educate yourself.
Educate yourself. Now, Delta, you came in. I don't know if you're still there, Delta. You got a quick story or a comment you want to share with us before we close out? What's up, Delta?
I was just listening. I've been trying to get in. Y'all couldn't hear me.
No, sure couldn't. You didn't press star,
I just wanted to say I saw the interview with Roland Martin, and I sent it to you. And I thought he did an excellent job. I thought he took him to task, and anybody hadn't seen it really need to see it, because really Roland Martin stunned him. And I always go back to what you and Miss Hattie say, Black Roll. Y'all always said education and study is powerful. And Roland Martin really stressed that. He told him, "You ran up on a black man who was educated, who studied. He studied. He said, 'I studied, and you cannot put nothing on me.' And by the way, I read all types of books. So whatever you throw at me, I'm ready." And that have really stuck out in my mind, to really start being prepared.
We have
so
to.
That's my key is, I'm going to try to do better this year coming up to be more prepared. And I want the people under the sound of my voice or my radio audience that's listening, we need to be more prepared when we go up against these white supremacists. We need to be able to know what we're talking about.
We're starting to call them white psychos, psychopaths. White psychopaths rather than supremacists. They're psychopaths.
And so that's our new term. So, well, I am so glad to hear that, Delta, and you totally have my support on that, and you can do it. It just, it takes a lot of time and dedication and study, but we have to do it, because guess what? We go to school for what, 12 years, another 4 or another 8 years to learn how to work for a company. So why can't you take some time and study and learn for yourself? When I was with revolutionary groups, and then we'll close out, it was mandatory that we had to study 2 to 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours a day. that you just have to do it. And so I'm not saying, you know, for people, oh, you gotta, you know, get you some check out the D up and you sit down for 3 hours. No, whatever works for you. If it's 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, or 30 minutes on your lunch break, sitting in traffic on the train or whatever, yes, try to find you something to educate yourself in terms of us, our history, our condition, and why we're in the situation that we're in, like the brother mentioned, so that you can, when you come up against somebody like that or somebody trying to challenge you on some stupid stuff, you know exactly how to shut them down, cut them down, and be done with it. And that's how we have to handle it.
And that was the white man from white, what's called a white bar, that was doing the interview that everybody's been showing over the news. That was that man that was up speaking.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's an idiot. He looks like an idiot.
That's what
like
I'm saying. That shows you so, he was with his mentality of folks. But when he got with educated folks, somebody who could handle him like Roland Martin, he didn't even know how to present himself.
Well, on that note, we will close out. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And I know Delta in the oven. Delta, you cook your Thanksgiving dinner?
No, Beth ain't did nothing but been running around with grandkids.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, if you're going to do some Black Friday shopping, shop with a black business. Try not to spend so much of your money. Stack your money, because you never know what may happen. And we need to have that, not just emergency money, but we need to have that, make that power move kind of money. Money, key money for your job kind of money too. So when they tell you to go home, you can say, that's cool, give them the two fingers and be like, I'm out.
Right. Peace out. Peace out. Namaste.
Namaste.